Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Question of the day. Who are some players or coaches you probably owe an apology to or owed an apology to? We can go back in the time a little bit. 713-572-4610 is the number to text again. 713-572-4610.
Yeah, I got a couple. One very much directly tied to the game tonight. Not so much me, but I'm looking at you, Figgy. About Baker Mayfield?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And honestly, I was kind of, and this was during the time he was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I was fighting everybody like, man, he's not that bad how y'all trying to say.
Yeah.
I think that last season in Cleveland, I would not fall on this sword, but I felt like he was hurt. He had a torn labrum, and for some reason the coaching staff kept throwing him out there and he was bad. And I just think if they would have shut him down and came back next season, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of people that was just like, nope, he is not good, and da, da, da. I thought he was solid in that 2020 season.
Yeah, and I'm not throwing you under the bus because I'm about to throw myself under the bus, and longtime listeners will know this, and I've gone out of my way to give him a lot of credit since this, but Kareem Jackson, his first couple of years,
yeah,
torched, and I was right at the top of the list. And I've talked to him about it. I said, man, I was so wrong, you know, and all this. He ended up being really, really good. More recently, and I think we criticized him, but not as bad as Kareem Jackson was torched. Jalen Petrie. I think Jalen Petrie is one.
He's still getting a lot of this. Yeah. And I think that it is fair to acknowledge that the coverage for him is not as stellar as what you would have from another,
sure,
like more typical slot cornerback type player, but he's still a good player. Like, I think that sometimes it can be easy to focus in on, get like blinders on that one thing, and then we ignore the other things that he does incredibly well that helps this defense kind of glue together.
Yeah.
It's just really frustrating when that one thing is something that a defense, or rather an offense, can harp on and pick at, which obviously you saw the Rams do. The thing that I kind of try and balance that with is an acknowledgement that how many teams have actually been able to pick at that, right? It's one of those things where when it is picked at, it's really frustrating. But when it's in a general situation, it's not like teams can always get to that. You
right.
know what I mean?
I'm curious what you guys, because we all have those guys that we like, oh, no, either criticizing him harshly or he sucks or whatever. I feel like those two were mine that just immediately popped into mind. I was wondering about Baker Mayfield. But part of it is, obviously, we talk about this because of Daniel Jones.
And I got to give him a little – well, actually, no. I don't need to apologize to Daniel Jones.
Come
I'll stay on
you can
this.
Do it.
No, I actually don't need to. Because the things about Daniel Jones that I knew that I felt confident that, hey, you could, with a running back and a good running game, he can be a decent quarterback, but he's definitely not like somebody that you need to lean your franchise on, which is still the case.
Yeah, I was wrong about that. I was wrong from this point because I thought Anthony Richardson needed some competition. And when they brought him in, I'm like, come on, man, that ain't no competition.
Right.
Of course, Anthony Richardson is probably going to win this quarterback battle. I was wrong on that from that point.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't necessarily over the top, you know, critical of Daniel Jones, but I was in line with everybody else. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what this guy is. But I think it does two things in Indianapolis before we get you guys, things or players or coaches that you might feel you owe an apology to. I think, number one, Daniel Jones' development already in Indianapolis makes Anthony Richardson look even worse because of number two. Daniel Jones, with a competent coach and offensive coordinator, is clearly going to be better. I don't know how good he's going to be, but he's going to be better, you know?
I mean, for
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For the the time being, for sure. And yeah, I mean, I think honestly, the Anthony Richardson thing, it just this is the sandwich. This is the bread on the other side of it. Because remember, I keep bringing us back Gardner Minshew. I was fascinated, and maybe he's also somebody I needed to give a level of props to, and I owed him an apology. Because on the front end of that, like that season that they had where Gardner Minshew is up here as the starting quarterback, I'm looking at him like, I know Gardner Minshew. I know who you are.
Yeah.
You're not a good quarterback. You were a okay college football quarterback at Washington State. And here he is, like, being viable because Shane Steichen is very good at coordinating an offense, which is why I was like, all right, well, Anthony Richardson, he should be able to. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. 3-6-1, this is a great answer. Geno Smith thought he was going to be a career backup.
That is a good
answer. That was mine.
Yeah. I was on that one. Like that is the one where I was on that one. And I was like, when the Seahawks turned around and were like, hey, we're about to let Geno be the starter, I was like, okay, this there's going to be something here. Now, I didn't think it was going to be what it was, where Geno Smith would be the best deep passer in the league.
Right.
But I was like, no. I remember him with the Jets when he got his jaw broken because he did not want to pay back some money for some camp. I remember because he was just starting to put it all together from his early seat career, and then he gets his jaw broken and he never really gets another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, he gets another chance. He's going to be better than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even better than I thought.
Yeah. Well, do you have anybody else?
I keep going to college guys that I'm thinking
Brent
about.
Brent Venables is one for me.
Interesting.
Coach, I thought he was going to be a bleep show. You know, he came in with that one of those first impression press conferences, which, by the way, we'll get into the mother of all those during my confessions. But, you know, one of those first impression press conferences with like David Culley, where you go, oh, this is going to be off. Brent Venables came in. I'm like, this guy is going to be a mess. He's turned that sucker around, man.
I mean, yeah. Agree. They have a really good defense, which you knew was going to happen under Brent Venables. I go to like college quarterbacks because college quarterback is absolutely one of those places where I look and I go,
Yeah.
And I think Stetson Bennett is one of the easy ones for me because I was like, what are we doing here? this dude is not a good college quarterback, and he just kept proving me wrong to the tune of, what was it, two national titles?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, all right, he is now maybe second or maybe one, actually. He's probably past Herschel Walker when it comes to Georgia greats, and I didn't think that dude could do it, like, at all when it comes to being a quarterback.
Another one for me. Real quick, and this is from the A32. This might be the answer in this city. Mario Williams. And it wasn't because of – we didn't think he was good in college. He was awesome in college. But we're like, come on, man. You got VY, you got Reggie Bush, and Mario. He's better than both. He had a better career. He was better than both those dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Reggie Bush is a tough one because he kept being productive, but he wasn't the high-end guy that you
Mario Williams almost finished with 100 sacks in his career.
That's a great point. That's a very, very
Josh
good
Allen.
Point.
That was one for me.
Yeah, you're right.
Because remember that was the same draft as Baker Mayfield, and I was just like anybody but Josh Allen. I take Josh Rosen over Josh Allen.
I thought Josh Rosen was. I was like, people are hating on Josh Rosen because he's smart. Yeah. Apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently not. But no, Josh Allen is a great one. But I stand on the reasons why I got there, which is why. So I was very quick to once I realized, oh, he really did do this. I got to give him his credit because he is the truth. But before that, it's like, hey, the same thing you're talking about with I think we were talking about this off air, particularly with Arch Manning.
Oh yeah,
that dude is inaccurate. Mm-hmm. He was so inaccurate at Wyoming, and I was like, yeah, he's got the big arm and he's athletic, but that doesn't fix accuracy. Isn't something that you can fix, and apparently Josh Allen did, and now he's going to ruin a lot of personnel people's jobs because they're going to go and try and recreate that, and you just can't.
A lot of people are saying Gary Kubiak, and that's a good answer too. Not because, I mean, he was beloved when he got here. He made the big run. They did things that this organization had never – they're talking about when he got let go. When he got let go, everybody was thinking, yeah, you know, Kubiak ran its course or whatever, and then he goes on and wins the Super Bowl and everything else. Another one came in from the 3-4-6, Yao Ming.
Mm.
A lot of people were wondering. That's just a big dude. He's lumbering. He's going to average 4 points a game, you know, whatever it may be. Yao Ming's a good one.
No, Yao Ming was incredible.
Yeah.
How much do you kind of cut off of that though with the preponderance of injuries that ultimate kind of
well the ultimate kind of, injury the last injury
yeah
that I mean nevertheless
he was really good
at his best he was among what, go ahead
oh no I was gonna say another one coaching in the NFL Dan Campbell
Oh, great answer.
I thought he was full of it, man. Yeah. I'm like, that's Detroit.
Yeah.
It ain't about to go. What you talking about, bite kneecaps off? Yeah. I'm just like, nah, that's a walking bit.
Yeah, right, everybody thought it was a bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you take it back to, like, you had the additional context when he was the interim coach.
And they wasn't that good.
In Miami.
Yeah.
And he came in with all that machismo.
Yeah.
And there's two levels to it, because there's that, right, the bite kneecaps off, but also he's not nearly the meathead.
Mm-hmm.
When he got into actually coaching, you looked up and you were like, oh, he's a player's coach. He is like a really kind of a softy with his guys. And he is kind of analytical, right?
Yeah,
I think there's some people that are like, oh, he's going to be in here, beat meathead football guy, play tight end.
No, he's not.
No, he's
I mean, like, he is, but he's also
going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Hell, Ben Johnson had to answer questions about, did you think he was running up the score? And Ben's like, no, this is what he does. That is who he is. Absolutely.
Let me ask you guys this before we get out of here, because this is going to be an interesting one moving forward. We all love D'Amico Ryans, know what he's going to do. But what about Sean Payton? Remember when it was like Sean Payton and D'Amico and all these other candidates here, and they're like, oh, he's lost it. Drew Brees carried him, all this other stuff.
I think right now I am looking, because I was just like, nah, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. I kind of questioned his time in New Orleans as well. But right now, I think he's on the up right now. Yeah. So, I want to sit here and say I'm totally wrong, but I'm looking wrong right now. Yeah.
This is a good one. 832, O'Connor Wegman, an apology. Took a while for the pass game to click, but Friday night was fun. We'll talk about that more as we continue here in the loop. But coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Where is the Chiefs dynasty waning? Are we finally seeing the end of it? We'll talk about that more next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.